When you come face to face with God and hear His word, don't leave the same way you arrived. And what they would do in that day, when they would come into the temple, they would say, if you came in by that gate, don't go back out that gate. So you come in that gate, go out another gate. I mean, it'd be nice for us to do that. If you can just remember that. Go out of this auditorium a different way than when you arrived. It'll confuse some of you because you'll start to go, which way do we come in? I think it's that way. But let me make it easy for you. The side doors were locked when you came in.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, part two of a message we began yesterday, a message entitled The Gift of Following. Here now is Pastor Wayne.
I was in a counseling session with a man that had been a Christian for about 15 years, but his life was in shambles and his marriage was about to go over the edge. So I was trying to counsel him and I was saying to him, you know, you need to ask like forgiveness. He said, yeah, I know that. He said, yeah, but you know, you might not realize that forgiveness isn't really admitting who's right or wrong or who's righter or wronger, because in every situation, it takes two to tango. You're going to be at fault. Your wife's going to be at fault. Another situation, it could be 50%, 50 or 90-10, but there's always going to be error on both sides. So just start with asking for forgiveness and repenting, not defending, repenting. He says, yeah, I know that. And I said, you know, it's because the reason it's so important is because repentance and forgiveness is the greatest weapon against the devil. That's what defeated him on the cross. It was forgiveness, not proving who was right or wrong. It was forgiveness. That defeats the devil every time because he doesn't have a foot to stand on at that point. So you start with that. He said, yeah, I know that. I said, and you need to be the head of the home to take lead in that. He said, yeah, I know that. I said, and you need to be reading the Bible so God's speaking to you. He said, Pastor Wayne, I know that. I said, then maybe help your wife. He said, I know. So maybe you should have your wife come in. We can counsel together. He said, yeah, I know. I try all that. I said, well, maybe you can just take time to pray. He said, I know. But this time I'm getting a little miffed at him, you know. So I looked at him and I said, then what the fat are you doing in my office here then if you know all of this? I said, get out of here and go do it. You see, this man knew it all, but he was unwise still. He knew everything, but he was not wise. We can fall into the same category where we know, but we're unwise. Oh, I know everything, but I'm not very wise. We'll get fooled by that, thinking because I know, therefore I am wise. Mm-mm. You know, but you could have God's word, like Herod, trouble you, but not convince you. Trouble you, but not transform you. So I know, but I'm not very wise. Wisdom comes in responding to that star, like the men did. And I bet then God said, that's why they're wise. So the second is to respond to what God is saying, and wisdom begins to seep into your soul. Well, they did. They did exactly that, and they followed that star all the way to the manger until they were face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they worshiped, or they showed value. They expressed worth to what God was doing. They let God's star and God's invitation affect them. Now, listen carefully. If you let anything affect you, please let God's word affect you deeply. When you come to church and God speaks a word to you, and that's a star. God is saying, now here, that's direction. Let it affect you. How often we defend ourselves. We kind of, If there's anything that should pierce our hearts, let God's word pierce your heart. And when it does, you know what God calls that? Fertile soil. So Matthew 13 said, the sower sows the word and it falls on hard path. Those are people that have a hard heart and just say no. Others fall on shallow soil or shallow heart where it springs up and then it dies. Short-lived. Others among thorns where they worship other things. They're more valuable. They give worth to other things rather than God. So their perspective is off. But there's some that allow God's word to pierce their soil because it's fertile soil, prepared soil. And they receive and let that seed impact them. Those are the ones that bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. What kind of heart is that? That's a heart that's open, that allows God's word, God's star, God's direction to pierce their hearts. But when that happens, here's the third advice, piece of advice that the wise men give to us. When they left, they didn't go back to Herod. They went another way. And that is a wonderful, wonderful example to us that reminds us, here it is, leave differently from when you arrived. Leave differently from when you arrived. Let's read Matthew 2:12. Ready? Go. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. You see, they got to the manger, and then because they had heard God and they were wiser now, they could hear God even more. And God said, I want you to leave differently from when you return. And that will happen with us. Let God's word affect you. Let his ways change your heart. Because God's going to use stars in many forms. A friend that invites you, a newspaper ad, a television program, a tape, a radio program. And it may just very well be that God set this star in the heavens, that you would give value to follow, and you'll never remain the same. Keep looking to the heavens, because God has a star. And he'll lead you and guide you. And if you'll give value and follow, you'll never remain the same. Ezekiel talks about that and puts it into more of a present or current sense in his time. And he talks about when the people come and gather before God to worship or show him worth in a congregation setting like this. And he says, when you meet face to face with God, don't leave the same. Let's read about how he says it. Ready? Go. But when the people of the land come before the Lord, he who enters by way of the north gate shall go out by way of the south gate. And he who enters by the way of the south gate shall go out by the way of the north gate. He's saying an opposite, leave opposite from the way you arrive. And then this last sentence, ready? Go. No one shall return by the way of the gate by which he entered. What is he saying? Don't leave the same way you arrived. When you come face to face with God and hear his word through a sermon, through this or through that, let it pierce your heart. Don't leave the same way you arrived. And what they would do in that day, when they would come into the temple, they would say, if you came in by that gate, don't go back out that gate. They would do a physical exercise to remind them of a spiritual principle. So you come in that gate, go out another gate. You came in this gate, go out another gate. What is he saying? Let a physical expression or exercise remind you of a spiritual principle that you must not leave like you came. There must be something changed in your heart. That is a great symptom of the fact that you've allowed God's word to pierce your heart and it's changed you. And so just like this, you know, you have doors here. So they'd say, you know, go out a different way. I mean, it'd be nice for us to do that. If you can just remember that. Go out of this auditorium a different way than when you arrived. That would be great. And I mean, it'll confuse some of you because you'll start to go, which way do we come in? I think it's that way. So help one another, but let me make it easy for you. The side doors were locked when you came in. So you came in from that way. So go out one of the side doors. But just, I mean, you know, you can or can't. But nevertheless, what I'm saying is try to do a physical thing to help you to be reminded of a spiritual principle. It will just be a good thing to be reminded about. Don't tell anybody what you're doing. They'll think you're weird. But just do it. Just quietly do that, you know, and it will help you. But basically what God is saying is when I speak to your life, give value to it, follow, you'll leave changed. I want to introduce to you a few people who God gave them stars in different forms. And they followed that and they left changed. And as you hear from them, you'll see that God has seeped wisdom into their life and will continue to do so. And they will speak to us and ask us to do the same. Would you listen and see how God led them?
Christmas is a season of following. Like the wise men that followed the star,
But that didn't just happen in history once. God still grabs or arrests our attention in different ways. For the wise men, it was a star. For you and me, it could be other things. It could be someone inviting us and leading us to where God wants us to go. Or it could be some tougher kinds of stars, like an accident or a setback. But what we want to do is allow these stars to lead us to the manger. We're going to hear from a few people how God placed a star in their life and how those stars still lead us to the manger.
I was addicted to drugs and alcohol. My roommate that I had in prison asked me, if I was saved, and I said no, and so he told me, well, why aren't you? So, I was in denial, really, because, I felt I had to be like, in order to be saved, I got to be some super Christian or something like that, and today I know it's different, I know I'm born into sin. So I accepted our Lord.
One of the things that would come to mind would be the love that I felt through people that believed in me when I couldn't believe in myself, and would say, come along, Jesus is real, and it's for real. And they would just continually encourage me and believe in me regardless of what I went through, regardless of me falling or slipping backwards. They would always come in love, pick me up, genuine love, the love that only God could show.
I ride a motorcycle to work. This particular morning, I happened to be riding to work where I had to make a decision to either hit the back of the car or go to the right. And I went to the right and I hit the car. And I just remember that the bike came up over the back of the car and landed on me. Really, the next thing I remember coherently is I woke up at Queens Hospital. Come to find out, many, many people came out of the woodwork to pray for me. And we have some very good friends that live here. And she mentioned to my wife, who's a Christian, that she'd like us to attend this New Hope Church. We went to the first service, that I realized that this is an alive church. It's not traditional. It felt very alive to me. And many times a sermon will speak to you directly, whether there's 8,000 people in the room or not. I could feel the instances coming through were speaking to me. The bottom line is, the accident may have got me here, but I don't think it's the reason I'm here right now.
It was one Doing Church as a Team conference that I was invited to New Hope by Niall and Jero Silva. And all I remember about that evening is that my heart was touched. I just wept the whole night.
Seeing Derek changed, and we tried so many different things, and he had been through so many different places, and nothing worked, and only Jesus did it.
And in the same way that Niall and Jero believed in me, that God had a plan for me, I truly believe that God had that same plan for my mom.
That was a living testimony, and that was enough to make me come to New Hope. So I think God has something kind of like God-sized plan for me, a God-sized assignment plan for me. And I don't know what it is, but all I know is I will follow Him wherever He takes me. And it is truly and has been truly the most eternal decision that I've made.
I had this misconception about being an ex-felon, that people are not going to receive me well.
It's never an easy road, and it never expected to be. I guess whenever you follow that star, you're going to have to go through suffering.
And I always crack up because people come up to me and say, I can't believe that's your mom, or I can't believe you're her son. It's like we're from two different planets, but yet we have one thing in common, and that one thing is the love of Jesus Christ, who has really captured both of our hearts.
I'm almost 50 years old, and I feel a sense of urgency in my life that I have something else I got to get done, and I want to do it through Christ.
The day I got out of prison, I came right here to New Hope, and I met with Roy Yamamoto and Grace Toki, and told them I just got out of prison, and if they could help me, put my life back together, which they did. people just, you know, bend over backwards just to help you here in this church, and that's why I love coming here, and that's why I'm so involved, you know, of giving back. This, I love this church.
That's what Christmas is all about. God still giving direction to his people and leading us to the manger so that we come face to face with the king in different ways. I mean, it could be, I'm sure when the wise men came to the manger, they had question marks. Baby, it's a strange way to save the world. Poor parents, a dirty floor. What is this? There's going to be times where we won't fully understand all that God's doing, but follow him. And what you do understand, commit to. Give him value, respond, and don't ever leave the same way you came, because if you do, it hardens your heart. Let God's word, let him impact you. Let his word affect you. And when you do, you'll begin to see the king even in clearer and clearer ways. And wisdom will seep into your heart. See, we can look for gifts under the tree, but if we miss this, we miss what Christmas is. Because that's what God was doing, getting our attention, even when he himself came to earth on that day, is to get our hearts, to teach us about worship, values, and so that wisdom will seep into our hearts. Take that. If you've never received the Lord before and you've never even said yes to him, This today may be the star that God's giving to you, appealing to you, inviting you. The question is, what are you doing with that invitation? Are you stewarding it well? Are you allowing it to affect you and then respond so that you'll leave differently? That's what it means when Jesus said, come, follow me. You see, when the Lord speaks to your heart, it's not just a sign. It's him. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Lord is saying, when you hear this, it's me, the Lord is saying. And give God value. Respond to God, and you will leave changed. If you've never said yes to the Lord, if you've never responded to him before, that invitation, do that today. It will indeed be the most eternal decision you'll ever have made. Would you bow your heads with me? If that's you today, and you say, Lord, I so need forgiveness of sins. God, you know that. I need your touch on my life, and it's my desire to follow you. Lord, I pray right now that you would change my life and make me the person you want me to be. And he waits for us to steward that invitation and respond to it. And that's what it means to receive salvation, receive Christ. If that's your heart today and you'd say, that's my desire, I want you right now, as you say yes to the Lord, do that by raising a hand, and in doing so, you're saying yes to his invitation, okay? Yeah, do that right now, okay? All right, yeah, good. All right, you too, yeah, on the side, okay? Yep, you too. Many hands. In the back, okay, yes, see those? All right, good, good, on the side too. Great, you can put your hands down, and how many of you would say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but I tell you, you know, often when God shows me a star or he kind of gives me direction, his word troubles me, but it doesn't always convince me. And I want to make that change this year at Christmas. I want to understand the gift of following, that I must steward that invitation to follow him, lest I become hardened in heart and I start to become blind to his invitations. I want to be able to keep my eyes to the heavens. And when I see what he's saying, then I will give value to it. And I won't just let it trouble me. I'll let it transform me. I want that to start today, this year. That's so important. If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, yep, that's me. I want that to begin this year. Lord, so be it. Yeah. Good. Would you reach out and take a hold of the person's hand next to you? And we're going to pray together. I'm going to ask if you would pray this out loud, especially those of you that have received Christ for the first time today. Pray this after me, would you? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came, died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. I choose to follow you. I need forgiveness of sins. I will be different
because I've met with you. Change my heart and make it more like yours. And now I say this so everyone hears, so you can hear me. I can hear myself, and the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, that's the cry of our hearts. Thank you for being the God of great love. We enjoy your embrace with great joy and with exceeding rejoicing. We stand before you and say thank you for the gift of following. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Gift of Following by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. We encourage you to visit our website and order some of Pastor Wayne's books or music to give to a friend. That web address is enewhope.org. Just click on the Resources tab. That's enewhope.org. We leave you now with a favorite for the Christmas season, Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night. Oh,
Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.